Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Full slate of Major League Baseball on a Wednesday. A lot of day games. We'll keep you up to date as the scores roll along. Big one tonight, 7:20 first pitch. We'll have it right here on Braves Country HD. Tonight, it's Spencer Strider night. Spencer Strider comes in 16-4 with a 3.56 ERA. The over-under is 9, Atlanta minus 305 on the money line. He'll be going head-to-head with Daniel Hudson, pretty good in his own right, 5-1 with a 4.02. Pre-game, 6:20, first pitch, 7:20. Find us on YouTube today, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country HD, your home for pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Atlanta Braves baseball. Other games of interest tonight as the wild card race, the divisional races come winding down into the backstretch. 6:40 Eastern, Red Sox at Rays, Pivetta versus Glasnow. Tampa Bay minus 170, over-under is 8. Dodgers are at the Marlins. LA minus 145, over-under 8.5. It's Lance Lynn on the bump for the Dodgers. 6:40 Mariners at Reds, Logan Gilbert versus Richardson. Seattle minus 170, over-under is 10. And 8:05. Justin Verlander versus Max Scherzer. Old teammates from just earlier this year. They'll go head-to-head. Texas minus 135. Over-under is 8.5. The Orioles are at the Angels. Baltimore will send Gibson to the mound to face Sandoval. Baltimore minus 145. Over-under 8.5. College football week 2. Here is the slate in the SEC. Starting on Saturday, September 9th, Vanderbilt. Is that Wake Forest? That game can be seen on the ACC Network, 11 a.m. Eastern. Wake Forest, minus 10.5, over-under is 57.5. 12 Eastern on the SEC Network. Hunker down, you hairy dogs. The Georgia Bulldogs will be hosting Ball State. Georgia's a 42-point favorite, over-under 52.5. Kentucky hosts Eastern Kentucky on the plus. That game can be seen at 3 Eastern. Ole Miss is at Tulane, one of the bigger games of the weekend. The Rebels, minus 7.5 at Tulane. Both of them ranked, both of them undefeated. The over-under is 65. At 3:30, Texas A&M, minus 4.5 at Miami. The over-under is 51. Arkansas hosts Kent State on the SEC Network. Razorbacks, 38-point favorites, over-under 57. Tennessee Volunteers host Austin Peay. There is no line on that one. 5 o'clock is the kickoff. The big one, Alabama Crimson Tide hosts the Texas Longhorns. Bama, minus 7, over-under 54.5. Middle Tennessee State is at Missouri. They're getting 20.5 points. The over-under is 48.5. LSU will try to rebound against Grambling. That game can be seen on the plus, 7:30 Eastern. Same can be said for the Florida Gators. They're on ESPNU against McNeese. Beth Mowen is on the call, buyer beware. In Arizona, plus 10.5 at Mississippi State. SEC Network, 7:30 kickoff. While South Carolina hosts Furman at 7:30 on the plus. And Auburn is at Cal, 10:30 ESPN. Tigers are 6.5-point favorite, over-under 54.5. Taking a look at the ACC, Louisville hosts Murray State, 7:30 Eastern. That game is Thursday night. On Saturday, September 9th, Vanderbilt at Wake Forest, ACC Network, 11 a.m. Eastern. Wake, 10.5-point favorite, the over-under 57.5. Fighting Irish of Notre Dame are at NC State. Irish, minus 7.5, over-under 51. Purdue, getting 3, at Virginia Tech, 12 o'clock ESPN2. Boston College hosts Holy Cross at 12. That game can be seen on the plus. Virginia will try to rebound against James Madison. ESPNU, JMU minus 7. South Carolina State's at Georgia Tech, 1 o'clock on the plus. Clemson will try to get it back together against Charleston Southern. 2:15 ACC Network. While the Miami Hurricanes host the Texas A&M Aggies. Aggies minus 4.5, over under 51. Syracuse at home against Western Michigan on the plus at 3:30. North Carolina will host Appalachian State. Tar Heels giving up 18, over under is 58. Duke hosts Lafayette on the plus at 6 o'clock. Pittsburgh squares off with Cincinnati. Both teams undefeated. Panthers -7.5. Over under is 47.5. Florida State Seminoles will host Southern Miss. That game can be seen 8:30 Eastern, ACC Network, Saturday night. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Armchair.
There's something, I say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to
idea?
Save the
pump
pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Welcome back, Joey. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, this is, I mean, one of the best days of the year is where you just, in terms of setting it
Game
in stone.
Game 3, Braves, Cardinals, I don't know if I'd go that far, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's all right, but, you know, that's like the appetizer. We got to get on to the main course of today, and I'm really looking forward to a football game being on TV. Usually they put a pretty good matchup. We'll see how it turns out here. A lot of people are big on the Lions this year, but is it Detroit's time? Let's see tonight, step one for Dan Campbell's kneecaps.
You know, I believe that game's going to be a dud, so I'm much more focused on the baseball tonight. I'm looking forward to the NFL Week 1, don't get me wrong, but I'm not that excited about tonight's game. They could have picked a lot more matchups. They could have picked a better opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. This game has it's got no buzz. It's got no pizzazz. You know, and normally the first game of the season is huge. Normally everyone's excited about it. This has no pizzazz. It's not Eagles versus Chiefs, which would have been fun. It's not a big AFC matchup that could be really important down the stretch for a tiebreaker, right? Instead, it's two teams that'll never see each other the rest of the year. One team that's defending world champion. The other one's got a lot of people believe that they're going to win the division, but that's only because they're in one of the worst divisions in football. From a fantasy standpoint, I can see it being a little more exciting, but that's only if you have one of those players or you're going up against one of those players. I don't know. Detroit doesn't do it. Detroit doesn't do it for me. Doesn't do it for anybody.
I wouldn't say anybody.
I'm not putting Lions fans out. I get that part.
Detroit's an interesting story this year because if you look at two teams who people are talking about taking that next step, it's really Jacksonville in the AFC and Detroit in the NFC to see where they could take a step. And ratings-wise, it's going to obviously explode through the roof. So, I mean, yes, could they have picked a better matchup? Of course, when this first came out, I was like, Lions, how did you come up on that? That being said, this team can win the NFC North very easily this season and to get a home playoff game. So I'm intrigued to see I don't care who's playing for Patrick Mahomes. That's not going to matter. I don't care if Kelsey's out because Mahomes is Mahomes. I want to see how the Lions can respond and adapt to it. Yes, it doesn't mean much week one, but that we could say that about all the games. So I'm looking forward to it. That's where most of my attention will be. Even though the Cubs are on tonight as well, I'll have two TVs. I'll have split squad action up for tonight.
Now, who are the Cubs playing?
I'm going tomorrow's game, actually. It's a day game. We got the Diamondbacks this weekend, so pretty big series.
See, to me, that's the game. Cubs-Diamondbacks, if I'm a Cubs fan, I see having both games on, but if I'm a Cubs fan, I've got the audio on that game.
Right, right.
The Chiefs, Lions, that's on the other screen somewhere. That's on the screen that sits right next to, like, my news channel, and maybe keep an eye on a Hurricane Lee. just in case they're wrong about that heading to Nova Scotia, I want to be on the know. Because there's
fair enough.
It's a lot. Here's the strange thing. This tells me something about how Major League Baseball is not impressed by the slate. In the last few years, Major League Baseball has had very little games for nighttime. What you've normally had is getaway games during the day, and that builds it as an appetizer for the NFL game. Today, no day games. Not
and I
one.
Think that's terrible. I think that's brutal.
Well, I think it's because they're like, we want the eyeballs on us because very few people care about the – first of all, the Chiefs, even though they're a national brand because they've been successful, they're not in a big market, right?
And then, right, but if no MLB game's on a national broadcast, nobody's going to care to – no one's going to tune into – there. Not many people have the MLB package. It's not like there's a baseball game that's going to be shining on, you know, NBC, ABC, or anything like that tonight. So
I think you've got something on the MLB network, but I don't know because I don't have access to it anymore.
I feel like every night I have something on. So, yes, there is probably a game.
My guess would be – I mean, honestly, my guess would be Arizona-Chicago. That's the game I would put on. If I was running an MLB network just looking at the matchups, Dodgers-Marlins are intriguing, but it's a little too early for me to want that to be the game, right? I want something where people are going to be locked in. So what I'm looking at right now, what's in front of me, I would have Diamondbacks-Cubs.
I like that.
You've got – what do you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – you got 6 baseball games tonight. No day games. And that is very strange for the opening night for the NFL. It's normally one – it was either last year or the year before. There was no day game. I mean, a night game, excuse me. There was like a few day games. That was it. So that just tells you that they don't know. At the time they were setting this up, they probably thought Cardinals would be relevant and Braves-Cardinals could have been an intriguing matchup, right? They probably thought the Yankees would be relevant and – Yankees taking on in Detroit would have been an intriguing matchup. But if I was, let's say if I have 3 TVs going tonight, and one's on volume and 2 are not, one of the ones that I'll put on would probably be the Chiefs-Lions game on mute. It'd be one of the smaller TVs. Volume, just because I'm a Braves fan, would be the Braves game. But if I was going just average fan, I don't have a dog in the hunt tonight, it'd probably be Cubs-Diamondbacks. And then my third game, if I'm not taking the Braves, and we're assuming I'm not a Braves fan at this point, Tampa Bay-Seattle's a very good game.
Yep.
But once again, that game starts early too. So do you want to pick – if you're the national game of the night on like MLB Network, do you really want to start it at 6:40? Probably not. Not if you're looking at taking eyeballs away from the NFL game. Or they may go the other way and say, let's get them early. You get sucked into our game, and folks will be like, I'll catch the NFL game at halftime.
I'll get the second half.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I've already given my lock. I already let that out of the bag. I'm actually going with the parlay as my lock to make this game interesting to me tonight. I took the Lions on the money line and parlayed it with the Braves on the money line, and it actually came back at a minus, what is that, minus 122. I don't like doing that on parlays, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to maul Detroit. And if the Braves aren't going to win tonight, when the hell are they going to win? I mean, they got Max Fried going on the mound. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They've lost the first 2 at home. They didn't just lose the first 2 at home. Their starting pitching has been horrendous the first 2 games. Tonight's the stopper moment for Max Fried, right? Go out there, put the bulldog on the mound, let's go. And we're going up against Wainwright, who, look, we all love Wainwright. We all respect what he's done, but he's seen better days.
Oh, yes. He's close to retirement.
He's like 60.
He was old when he became a closer for a little bit. Oh, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, he's an 8.03 ERA. And as bad as that is, it's not much worse than what Mike Soroka's got this year. I'm so glad they shut him down. Nothing against him personally, but I am so tired of hearing the Braves fan out there trying to come up with another reason to put him out there on the bump. He is just, he's not good. And I talked about this earlier, but there's a very interesting thing going on with this. I hadn't really thought about it until I did a deep dive today. So they've shut him down, right? And one of the things they were doing was that they were keeping him available to be able to be arbitration eligible for the next 2 years. Here's the problem with that game plan. Soroka is out of options. So if you bring him back for what his arbitration number will be, which won't be much because he's been terrible this year, right? If you bring him back, he has to be on the 26-man roster opening day. Unless you're going to put him through waivers and play that game. But then what's the point of that?
All right.
It's either that or you don't bring him back and you offer him a minor league deal. But I feel like some bum will, like the White Sox will go, hey, here's some money, you can have it. And I honestly, I'm kind of dumb. I'm done with it. I'm tired of dealing with this. It's been 4 years. Next year will be 5 years. He's extremely hittable. His fastball isn't fast anymore, and his slider doesn't slide. It is a slow changeup. It's a slow-hanging changeup, and that's why Cardinals have a lot of faults, but you know this, they can still bang. They can still knock the hell out of the ball.
And they, yeah, hitting is not their issue.
No, not at all. We found that out the last two nights.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, look, you got these young pitchers in baseball. You know, you could go look at any sport. You always want to have hope in a guy that you brought through, right? But at the end of the day, you have to have a cut line for everything. And simply, if you're a pitcher sometimes, if your fastball's not working well and your slider's not working, there's not much left to go to after that. So, scary stuff.
Yeah, and if you put the other thing out there that's pretty obvious too. First of all, you're talking about a guy that it's different if you say the Chicago White Sox sign him to a one-year deal next year. It's different if the Kansas City Royals are trying to eat innings. But you're talking about an Atlanta Braves team that expects to be in the playoff, the World Series hunt for the next few years, several years. He can't be a part of your equation. He changed his delivery because he was worried about his overall career, the longevity. Well, that's fine and dandy, but your career's not going to be very long if you're getting smacked around.
Might need to change his name, like Meta World Peace or something like that.
Well, he did change his name. He went from Michael Soroka, now he wants to be called Mike Soroka. You need to go back to Michael, son. It did all right for Michael Jordan. I don't remember him coming out after being gone playing basketball, going, just call me Mike.
I want to be like Mike.
It's usually the exact opposite, too. Normally, someone goes by the shorter version as they get older. They want to go by the more, you know, quote-unquote professional version. I've got a buddy who, he was Tommy as long as I knew him. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he tells me that he wants to be called Tom or Thomas. I said, look here, man, don't you start identifying with me.
Who are you?
You're Tommy boy. Calm it down.
I'm a maniac.
No, but it's strange that he started off as Michael young, and now he wants to be called Mike. I'm like, whatever, dude. As long as we're not calling you Atlanta Brave next spring, I'll be okay. And McHugh, he went on the IL because they took him out of the bullpen the other night, had thrown him about 60 pitches. Now they said shoulder inflammation. That's fancy talk for, A, he got the hell beat out of him, and B, he threw too many pitches. So they're just shutting him down for 10 days or so. I don't want him on the damn roster come October. He has been putrid. It's ever since he went to that sweeper. That sweeper doesn't sweep.
Swiper, no swiping.
And it just floats across the zone. So it either gets clubbed or it's outside the zone. Every once in a while, you get some numb nuts that'll swing at it, but it's not the better players. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, AFC predictions, Super Bowl predictions. It is AFC for you, right?
I completed mine on Tuesday.
You did AFC?
Yeah, you did the NFC.
My bad. Yep. NFC. We'll do NFC predictions, and I'll do them along with you, and then we'll get your Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country on opening day-ish of the NFL, and Braves, Cardinals, and the Cubs got a big one. So that's a four-game set with Arizona.
Yep, four games, and I'll be there tomorrow.
That is, man, I'll tell you what, that is a tough one there. Is that a day game or a night game?
Day game tomorrow. I'm taking off work. I got the three-day weekend rolling, baby.
Is Tones going to be there with you?
No, a lady friend I passed over.
I was about to say, is he doing a live remote?
No, he'll be live and present on Braves Country.
All right, so lady friend, we'll hear about her when we come back.
Bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing.
Bro, I'm risking my life. It's not worth it. It's not.
You are so going to end up in porno.
Stay locked in on Armchair Quarterbacks Radio. Always just moments away from the big play.
There's Cunningham. Dodges left. And puts it way downfield. For Brett Barnett, who has the catch, and the race is on. There are no flags. A 95-yard touchdown.
The ball just over the goal line of the Cowboys. Dorsett, single setback. Big opening for Tony Dorsett. Look out, he's got great speed.
99 yards and a half.
Dorsett down the sideline. Stays in bounds.
Can you believe that?
99 and a half yard run, I think, is the longest run in the history of the league.
Here's Cunningham back to throw it and going deep, and he's got Moss, and there's a flag on the play, and Moss has caught the pass and is in the end zone anyway. Touchdown. Just throw it as far as you can.
Randy Moss is amazing. Randall Cunningham is amazing.
Hi, this is Britney Spears.
It's what up, this is Jay-Z.
This is Jennifer Lopez. Armchair.
In 1878, more than 8 million bats were sold in the United States. And players often rode to the ball field in painted carriages, singing team songs. Everybody had a team. At Orting, Washington, the Fats took on the Lean. Whalers, frozen in at Herschel Island above the Arctic Circle, played too, naming their teams the Hoodlums, Walruses, and Blubbers.
Oh, baby, we're getting off the schneid tonight. I can feel it. You know what drives me nuts about this? In the last several years, we have dominated the St. Louis Cardinals. Now they suck to high heavens and we can't beat them.
Go figure. That's baseball.
Come on, man. Someone said it last night in the chat. I can't remember who it was, but this feels like the Oakland A's all over again. Get this out of your system for October, because I'm not here for that. I'm out.
Hey, not a bad time to go through a rough stretch. Get hot the last couple of weeks. Get this crud out of the way and be ready, like you said, for that October
playoff. I can tell you something else, too, Joey. And a lot of folks don't want to hear this, but I don't care. You're going to get all the smoke today.
Earmuffs.
You're going to get all the smoke. Spencer Strider's not winning the Cy Young after last night, and I don't want to hear any more about it. He doesn't deserve the Cy Young. It comes down to Steele, who I'm pulling for.
And I was going to say, could it be my guy?
And Snell. It's between Steele and Snell. You can't have an ERA damn near four because you want to, I mean, we're talking about, what is it, 3 weeks to the end of the season? You can't go out there and throw 2 2/3 innings and give up 6 earned runs at home against a bad Cardinals team and go, where's my Cy Young trophy? And I don't know, fair enough. I don't know how many Cy Youngs he'll win because of the fact that he's very Nolan Ryan-like and the fact that he likes to throw strikes. But he doesn't necessarily worry about the strikes that don't hit, and he gets too much of the plate. Those balls go a long way.
Too bad Max got hurt because his numbers are on pace for Cy Young.
Oh, Max Fried's elite. It's also
too bad he didn't have enough starts because he'd probably be in the number one if he was healthy.
It's also too bad that this may be his last year in Atlanta. But you know, there's a lot of too bads going on.
Man, you are really – Braves fans are going to have heart impulse problems soon.
Well, I'm being serious. He's got left on his arbitration deal. So they could bring him back for one more run and say, screw it, we'll just lose him at free agency. Or – and that just doesn't seem like an Anthopoulos way of thinking. Or you could see him going out there – and him being Anthopoulos and trading him at the in the offseason and say, what can we get for him? Let's rebuild this pitching rotation and let's go. So it's one of two ways. I personally, if I'm running the show, I'm going another year with Fried. Let him do, you know, maybe Fried has a change of heart at some point and he gives you some kind of, he's not going to, but gives you a sweetheart of a deal. But I'm not trading him in the offseason. But the Braves seem to get in front of these things usually. And I don't think they want to happen to them what happened to them with Dansby Swanson and Freddie Freeman. You get to the free agency, you can't afford them because they want market value, and fair enough, they've earned it, right? Well, that doesn't do you any good. the good old, you know, handshake and a pat on the back. So,
thank you.
But we've got a long time to dive into that in the offseason. But this could be Max Fried's last hoorah. I mean, the one guy that I thought would give a home discount didn't give us a home discount, and that was Dansby Swanson because he was from the area. Max Fried's a California kid, so it's not like he's got like emotional ties to Atlanta, Georgia.
That's our worry with Cody Bellinger over here. We feel like he just probably wants to get back west after this, so. Tough decisions to be made.
But, you know, the thing with Bellinger is that he was left for dead on the trash heap. And if the Cubs give him a pretty good offer, he might be really happy where he's at, you know, playing with Dansby and all those guys.
I hope so.
So I think that's a little bit of a different situation because he's already seen what it's like to be on the trash heap, right?
True. Fair enough.
It probably comes down to who else is offering and does he really enjoy Chicago? That's probably what it comes down to. Because Bellinger, at his stage, probably has one more lengthy deal left.
Exactly.
And so, and do the Cubs want to bring him back for whatever he's asking for? That's the other thing, right? All right. We've got – did you give me all of your picks?
Yeah, that's what I was – Tuesday I gave you all your picks, but you said you were saving your AFC – tomorrow.
Oh, you did. I've got this mixed up with Tones and Bobby. All right, never mind. All right, I'll get Tones and Bobby. So I don't know what the hell I was talking about. So just to go over real quick, because I gave you my AFC, right?
Correct, and you said you're saving your other one for Friday.
That's right. You know what? We're going to have a lot to go over. Let me go and just give you my NFC ones today. And then that way, because I got to get Bobby's and Tones' tomorrow. That's a lot to cram in.
Very fair.
All right. So you went AFC. You went Jets, Jags, Baltimore, Kansas City to win their divisions. And then you had Bills, Chargers, and Bengals to hit the wild card. You've got Buffalo versus Baltimore in the championship and Buffalo going to the bowl.
Bingo.
I've got, in the NFC, you had Philly, Tampa, Detroit and San Fran to win the divisions, Dallas, Seattle, and Chicago to make the playoffs via wild card. And then you've got Dallas playing the Bills in the bowl.
Yep.
And you got the Bills winning the whole thing. Okay. Bills over the Cowboys. Oh, how sweet that would be for a lot of Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah, full circle.
Imagine the Buffalo Bill fan that grew up in the early 90s watching their team and having to listen to the crap they probably had to listen to from Cowboy fans.
Exactly.
Two times! I'm not a Bills fan, but I was pulling for the Bills both times because I had a lot of friends that were Cowboy fans.
I couldn't imagine losing four straight Super Bowls. So that's mind-blowing to me still.
Now, to be fair, the first one I was not pulling for them. I was pulling for the Giants because the Giants were the underdog. And I thought it would be a really cool thing. Had I know what I know now, I would have been pulling for Buffalo because I've been like, dude, this is sad. Like, this is just sad. Then they played Washington, and at that point, I was pulling for Buffalo because I didn't really love the Washington team, anyone involved in it, Mark Rypien or whatnot. They were a very good team, but they just kind of popped up out of nowhere and wasn't a big Redskin fan to begin with. That came from me as a kid being a Dolphins fan and still pissed off about Super Bowl 17. Then they play the Cowboys, and I'm like, all right, come on, Buffalo, get it together. And the first one, they just get absolutely just boat raced. That was the one where it would have been even worse. I want to say it was 59-17, something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't have it in front of me. It was bad. And it would have been worse, but Leon Lett was doing the whole thing, sticking the ball out.
Yeah, 52-17.
It was 52?
Yeah, 52-17. Okay,
so that's what it was. It would have been 59. I was involved in a football pool, and whatever the hell the number would have been, I had, and Leon Lett sticking the ball out and Don Beebe coming back and smacking it out of his hand screwed me. And whatever quarter that was, that screwed me, and then the final score screwed me because he did that. And then the next year, they're playing the Cowboys again, and this time, they got to beat them. They got to get them. And that one was actually much more competitive that the Cowboys just pulled away in the end. And that's why the year after that, something I thought I would never do, I'm pulling for the 49ers. Back in the line. I was thinking of these Cowboys. And plus, Dion was on that 49er team. I'd followed him since the Falcons and, of course, Florida State. So I was, you know, come on, let's go. And that was a cool team to watch. And you just want a blowout. They blew out what was that dude's name? The quarterback for – he was a flash in the pan for San Diego. I'll think of it. Is it Humphreys? Bobby Humphreys? Something like that? Anyways, flash in the pan. San Francisco, that was one of the best teams I ever saw just that particular year. That 49er team was badass. So anyways, enough of that memory lane junk. Let me give you. So in the NFC East, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
A little surprised you didn't take them considering where you went. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. I just believe that with the turnover in the coaching staff, I think there's going to be some growing pains for Philadelphia. And I think Dallas was very close last year to taking that next step. And why not this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the NFC South, give me the Atlanta Falcons. I think that is going to be a very subpar division, and I do believe that the Falcons can find a way to get enough wins. Hell, let's be honest, they might win that thing with 7 wins. Who knows? But I think, but the only other team that I think has a chance of winning that division is the Saints, and they're the favorites, right? But there's something about the leadership there at New Orleans. The fact that they couldn't figure out last year that Jameis Winston should have been the starting quarterback over the Red Rocket.
Dalton.
I mean, my God. That team would have won the division last year if he just would have getting out of his way. Nothing against Derek Carr, but he's never really impressed me much in Vegas. He's always been a very good quarterback, a solid quarterback. I don't think that's necessarily going to be enough to get the win, so I'm taking the Falcons. Caw-caw, caw-caw!
Caw, caw!
They need some kind of battle cry.
Is that a falcon or a dying squeal?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that I go, rawr! For the Jaguars.
Now that is prime time. I like that.
And I go, caw-caw, caw-caw! For the Falcons. I don't know. Detroit Lions in the NFC North. They're more like the Lions of the Wizard of Oz. But I'm going to go ahead against my better judgment, take Detroit to win this division.
Isn't it wild?
Minnesota, man, they won a lot of games last year, and we're all killing them because they were all close games, right? And when you win 11 games by one score, usually that's not going to work out. There's going to be a regression.
Yeah.
I also went off the fact that every year for the last several, there's at least four teams that are in the playoffs that weren't last year and four teams that obviously made the playoffs last year that aren't in this year. So my teams that I picked this year to be in it that weren't in it were Atlanta, Detroit, the Jets, and I'm trying to figure out who the other team was. I thought I had another one on my list. Did I say Steelers yet? Steelers.
You did not.
Okay, so Steelers was the other one. That's what it was. I had two in the AFC and two in the NFC. I
got four as well, so that makes sense.
It's a pretty much a copycat league. It's pretty much a league that is trying its best to be as even as possible. They don't want to be like the NBA where you can just predict who's going to be in the finals every year, right? And it's just par for the course. Like, it's very difficult to do what the Chiefs have been doing, right? So where did I leave off at? Detroit. Give me the 49ers in the West. I think that's just a gimme. The only team that I would give an honest engine chance to win that outside of them would be Seattle.
Yeah.
But sure. I just think San Francisco is incredibly talented. And you'll see where I'm going with this. The Giants make the wild card. I just feel like, man, Daboll's a very good coach, and I don't want to bet against him, right? That's my philosophy behind that entire thing. I'm not betting against Brian Daboll. And so my other wild card, I am going to take the Seattle Seahawks. I just feel like that they're going to have a pretty easy schedule, considering that they're going to get to play the Rams and the Cardinals a total of four times this year. That kind of plays into my. That's why I almost didn't take the Giants. It's like, dude, they got to play the Eagles and the Cowboys, but. When you start going through, you're like, well, who the hell is going to make the playoffs in the NFC?
Somebody's got to.
So my last wild card, and it's probably my first wild card, but my last one that I'm mentioning is the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think they're going to take a while to get used to the new coaching. They're eventually going to get it together, but that's going to leave them in the wild card round, not winning the division. All right. So you ready for my NFC championship?
Let's hear it.
We mirrored each other. San Francisco versus Dallas.
You probably have an opposite outcome, I'm thinking.
I got the gold rush going to the Super Bowl, the 49ers. If they can keep Brock Purdy upright and your boy CMC from getting his injuries that he normally gets, that team's going to be hard to beat. So give me the San Francisco Giants. This time I'll do the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers beating the Dallas Cowboys. I took the Jets to beat Cincinnati in the AFC a couple of days ago. So it's San Francisco versus the JETS Jets. Oh, so close, Aaron Rodgers. 49ers, baby. The gold rush comes in with the Super Bowl championship.
Wow.
So close. So there's that. And we'll get Tones and Bobby's picks. And I'll make sure to get Doug's and Trosh's picks on the Saturday kickoff show. We had a lot going on today, and I just like, we're never going to get to the end of it. Any thoughts? Pushback?
What do you got? You know.
What are you, stupid? Do you even watch football? Jets 49ers? What are you talking about, McGee? Anything like
that? You know, when I look at this NFC in a whole, as we know, it's a down conference. When you look at the NFC South, NFC North competitive, but when we're saying Detroit's at the top, somebody spooky is going to make a big run here, whether, and I don't really know who it is. We mentioned Seattle a little bit.
Give me a dark horse in the AFC and a dark horse in the NFC, and I'll do the same. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a second to think about that.
Okay.
Because I don't want you to just blurt out anything and say something crazy like the Colts. And, zing. We'll be back in a flash when we come back. Our sleepers, one in each conference to make a run, and we're going to talk about the games tonight here. We're going to get the Lions for Lions Chiefs. We're also going to talk about a little Major League Baseball before we jump off. We'll be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on WQEE 99.1 FM. The affiliates listed around on CBS Sports and Braves Country HD on YouTube.com. We'll be back in a flash.
Are you an adult?
Yeah.
And you went out last night?
Yeah.
Introducing a hangover.
What's that?
Surprise, idiot. You went out and actually had fun last night, but your body is here to remind you that's not allowed. With a hangover, you can have a light breakfast to soothe your tummy. See if drinking more will help. And finally start your day at 6 p.m.
I went out last night for casual drinks with a friend, and now I can't even form a coherent thought.
Try it today.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with 4 crunchy tacos and 4 beefy 5-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's Taco and Burrito Cravings Pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
The Dixie Handle Company, 5 generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, the All-American.
I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if 99% of the people in the world find you ugly, 78 million still find you attractive. And out of those 78 million, 49 million of those are blind, and 29 million just have bad taste because you ugly.
Welcome back. If you're looking at the lineup, which you may notice, maybe I should just go ahead and scrunch this up a little bit. Make it a little bigger. Here we go. Austin Riley is not in the lineup tonight. And from my understanding, it's just a day off, but we'll continue to dig into that come pregame. So Nicky Lopez is getting the start at third base. And I'd say it's probably a lot like they did the other night where they wanted to get Lopez an opportunity to play because he came over as a true utility man. And he played most of his time at second for Atlanta because of the injury to Ozzy. He finally got a start at shortstop the other night. He's getting a start at third base. The only thing I don't like about this, we're going up against a bad pitcher, older pitcher. He's not a bad pitcher. He's just past his prime. We were on a three-game slide. This is not the game to screw around with the lineup. We'll see how it plays out. So what we're getting tonight is Acuna, Ozzy, Olson, Ozuna. That's your top four. Basically, everyone's moving up a step. Rosario, Darnold, Harris, Arcia, and Lopez is hitting at the bottom. I don't like moving Michael Harris up and down the damn lineup all the time. Just leave him at the nine spot in front of Acuna and, you know, put Arcia up there and let Lopez just be what he is, which is basically Punch and Judy hitter. You hope he gets a single. But that's anyways. We'll hit the dark horses of the National Football League. Curious to see where you're going. So I'm going to let you pick first because I'm just curious to see where you're going. A team that you did not mention in the AFC to make the playoffs that you think could find their way in. So Joey went Jags, Jets, Baltimore, KC, Bills, Chargers, and Bengals. Who you got is your dark horse. You're like, you know what? If things fall the right way, this team could be scary.
I'll tell you right now, and you had them in there, I believe. I did not. But a team that I think can be scary and seriously maybe get to an AFC championship is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'll say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, Kenny Pickett was a rookie last year. We all know that. Year two, usually you make that huge stride. I feel like he showed enough last year not to be a great quarterback, but to be a good quarterback this season. And we all know Mike Tomlin knows how to run a ship. So they got a lot of weapons around Kenny Pickett now, even though he's half dead. They did try to add a guy like an Allen Robinson.
You know who I like to have a big year? He's not going to win the MVP or nothing, but he's going to have a big year is Pickens.
Absolutely. And
everybody's
why not?
Drafting, I'm talking about fantasy-wise, everybody's drafting Deontay Johnson above him. I think Pickens takes the next step and ends up being the guy in Pittsburgh.
He's sure flashy enough, and this year I think he'll bring that consistency, which you're talking about, to have a great season. So, yeah, and their defense, I mean, anytime, as long as Watt stays healthy, I don't see the defense taking a step back either. So I'm going Pittsburgh as a team I did not pick, but I realize they're coming, and I don't think Tomlin wants to go out early.
So my AFC pick, it's a homer pick, but I do believe they've got a team that could find their way into the playoffs just because of a weaker schedule, is the Tennessee Titans. And mainly because you're dealing with two other teams in the division who are in a complete rebuild. If you handle your business, as they say, right? If you can beat the Colts twice, if you can beat the Texans twice and split with the Jaguars, that's five wins right there. And if you can do that, I don't think they will do that. I think the Titans have some holes that best case scenario in the division would be 4-2. More realistic, it's probably 3-3. But let's say they do that. Let's say they sweep the two teams that they should be better than and split with the Jaguars, like take a home and home. Man, you're talking about 5-1. Then you're talking about the rest of your schedule. You just need to play like 500 football, and you're probably in the playoffs. So that's why I went with that. Who is your NFC team?
Yeah, and in the NFC – man, I mean, with how bad the conference is, I guess anything's possible, right? But I'm focused in on the Green Bay Packers for a couple of reasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have a good run game still between Jones and Dillon. Love is the unknown, as we all know, but I don't see a lot of unknowns outside of that. Defensively, they're a pretty stout team. Yeah, receiver Watson came into his own last year. Romeo Doubs made a little name for himself. To me, if Jordan Love can be competent and not turn the ball over in this week NFC North, if things fall the right way, don't be surprised if they somehow scratch to 9 wins and can maybe get that thing. I'm going with Green Bay as my dark horse.
He's going to have to be a lot better than what we've seen, right? I mean, he is.
I mean, we haven't seen much.
No, we haven't. But his opportunities he's gotten, it's not been impressive. That's an interesting one because he's got pieces around there and pretty good defense. So to your point, he's got a running game. He's got Christian Watson.
Yep.
You know, he's got tools. Can he just be not game manager? Can he just put the ball in the right hands and not do anything stupid?
Correct.
All right. So two teams I want to mention that I'm not putting on my list. I'm going to tell you why. The New Orleans Saints. I thought about putting them as my NFC sleeper. Man, I just feel like this is a team that's not going to be able to get out of its own way. They've got a good defense. And they're going to be real spotty on offense. And I'm not a believer that Michael Thomas is going to stay healthy for the first time in 4 years. I'm not a believer that Derek Carr is going to all of a sudden become the second coming of Drew Brees. So that's why I'm leaving them off. The AFC team that if you looked at my picks that I went with, what would I go with? Jets, Jags, Cincy, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and Miami. The reason why I'm leaving the Chargers off, I think there's going to be a real hangover from that debacle, that choke job that they had in the playoffs last year. Teams don't get over that overnight. And I just feel like that's going to linger. Hot seat coming in. I'm calling them on the hot seat right now. Chargers will have a new head coach by before Christmas.
I could see that happening to the Cleveland Browns coach as well.
Oh yeah, he's just a placeholder. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's a placeholder for Deion Sanders. The NFC. I went Dallas, Atlanta, Detroit, San Fran, Giants, Seattle, Philly. My sleeper team. Give me the Bears. I think the Bears. They could do something, but what we need to see is better defensive play, obviously. But I also want to see, don't get too cute. What worked with that offense was Fields running, smashing the ball with some Khalil Herbert. They've got Deontay Foreman now this year that I think is just, dude, he just feels like a Chicago Bear. Just running over you. Lean into that. And then do the play action with Fields more going down the sidelines. Give me some Cole Kmet. Can I get some Cole Kmet action in the end zone every once in a while? I think that team, because that division is, let's be honest, it's a poverty division.
That's why we both went there for Dark Horse, I feel like.
It wouldn't shock me if the Lions lion and the Bears are the ones that find a way into the playoffs. It's not going to be the Vikings. I'm convinced the Vikings are going to score a ton of points and go about 7-10. And who am I leaving out there? I'm drawing a blank. Lions.
Packers, I mentioned.
Packers, sorry. Packers, once again, I got to see Jordan Love be not Jordan Love. He needs to be more like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and less like Jordan Love that we've seen so far.
Correct.
All right. So those are our picks, and I'm probably going to be tearing mine up and throwing it in the trash in week two going, what the hell, man? Everyone I picked is 0-2.
Oh, man. The fun starts tonight.
What is your lock of the day?
Man, it's weird I haven't quite made it out of my baseball mode yet, just because obviously between the Cubs and everything great, Braves-wise, yeah, there's so many good things going on. I'm going to stick to that and not touch the NFL game tonight. Just too many unknowns, as we're still unknown with Kelce until the game time pretty much when the trainer, they said, will decide for him. So I'm going to take Seattle Mariners at minus -125 with Luis Castillo on the mound. I've unfortunately picked up Mr. Little on the Rays one too many times for a spot start, and he's kind of screwed the pooch for me. So I just have bad PTSD from that. Seattle Mariners lock -125.
So I gave you my parlay that I like a lot tonight. The Braves, by the way, with Riley out of the lineup, the odds have gone down a little bit. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about betting Braves. I gave you Braves, I gave you Chiefs as a parlay, but if I'm going to just do a straight-up bet for you tonight, man, I'll tell you what. It's already gone down a run. Earlier today, I really liked the Tigers and Yankees hitting the under. It's Carlos Rodon versus Eduardo Rodriguez, and they said they're already shutting down Rizzo for the year. He's done, by the way.
Damn, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I forget what the issue is, but whatever it is, it's a minor issue, but they're shutting him down. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. So I originally had it at 9.5. It's down to 8.5. I still like it, but I'll go a little somewhere different. I think the Dodgers will get off the schneid as well. They're on the road in Miami. Braxton Garrett versus Ryan Pepiot. Pepiot's looked pretty darn good. I've been impressed by him. And I think the Dodgers get the win. So, what is your walk-off, my guy?
My walk-off is this. Listen, it's Detroit's time now or never. I'm intrigued to see what they do with the run game, and I'm going to focus on Gibbs and Montgomery, how they split up those carries. It's not the most thrilling matchup, but if Detroit's going to do anything, it has to be this season, right? That's my walk-off.
My walk-off is Braves – Cardinals obviously will be back for that 7:20 first pitch. But what I want to see tonight more than anything else, and it really stinks that Riley's not – I really want to see Riley go off on Wainwright. So I'm going to go with the pick to click as my walk-off in the final score. I got the Braves offense waking up and getting up in a big way. I think Max Fried throws some shutdown innings. I think the Braves go out and win this thing 9-2.
I'm going 12-1.
I'll take that one. and my pick to click tonight, you got Wainwright on the mound. He's been extremely quiet this series. I think the entire team was tired. Give me Acuna. I'll go into that bag of tricks again. Give me Acuna to go out there and be a little patient in your first at-bat, Acuna. I've noticed that when you're a patient in your first at-bat, you usually have a hell of a night. When you go out there swinging at the first thing, and one thing Wainwright will do is he'll try to get you to chase something when he thinks you're going to chase. Just be patient, my guy. Be patient at the beginning and then ambush him at the end. Y'all have a great night. Joey, see you Saturday for the kickoff show that starts this week, Armchair Quarterback Kickoff Show. Y'all keep it locked in here on The Key, and make sure to keep Rhino Radio for your Monday mornings, or excuse me, weekday mornings. I was thinking today, never mind. Friday morning, tomorrow morning, but every morning, 7 to 10 a.m. here on 99.1 FM. We'll be back tomorrow. We go live 3 to 5. We'll see you.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.